But last week we talked the idea of prayer and the spiritual battle that we have and what prayer is. And hopefully this week you spend some time in prayer. And not just out of necessity. We go through our lives and sometimes out of necessity we pray. You know, out of desperation there's a need that brings us to it. And God tells us to come before Him. He wants us to pour out our hearts to Him. But it has to be more than just that. And in here, our prayers should be, you know, God, I love you. Our prayers should include, God, you know, what a beautiful day this is. Good job on the cold this week. You know, bringing the temperatures down and painting the leaves and all these things. But we should really be in a constant state of communication with God. And so in here, Paul talks about this. And we're going to go ahead and get a running start in this armor of God. And we'll wrap things up today as we talk about Paul brings it personal. He's been talking about the armor of God. And he talks about prayer, that we all should pray. Then he asks for himself a prayer request that Paul asks on his behalf. So starting in verse 13, Ephesians chapter 6. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And I can't help but think that here, Paul gets really personal asking for prayer for himself. You know, here we have Paul, the Apostle Paul, who God has used to transmit the gospel all over Asia at this time. That in here, a man who has suffered imprisonment, beatings and stonings, persecution, being chased out of town. So much so that people hated him so much, you know, you watch the news and you watch all the mobs chasing our politicians all over the place. Right? That in here, nothing new. That Paul actually had groups of people that would follow him from city to city and try to cause a ruckus to chase them out of that town into the next. All because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I can't help but think that here is a man who was just so bold for the faith. You know, I know sometimes in my life I'm fearful to speak up because of what people will say, you know. What will they think? You know, they think I'm a weirdo? You know, more so than normally. Will they think, oh, you know, I'm not cool, I'm not hip, I'm out of touch? Will they think I'm a bigot? Will they think I'm a hater? What will they think? And so sometimes I'll just want to backtrack and kind of keep my mouth shut. And I read this passage and I see, you know, Paul struggled, and in here that his prayer was for boldness, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, we talk about the armor of God, and all these things take place. You can take a soldier, and you can put all the gear on him. You can give him the weapon, and give him the protection, right? And then you send him out. But the real battle takes place is when he faces the enemy. Right? You know, I often think, you know, church, this is sort of the safe place. This is just kind of, I always kind of picture this, you know, I use a sports illustration, which always gets me in trouble because you know how much I know sports. But this is kind of like the halftime, you know. The team comes in into the locker room. This is the locker room. And the coach kind of perks you up and kind of encourages you and points out some things and encourages you in others and gets you all rah, rah, rah. And then you got to go back out into the field. Right? You guys have come in from the world, come in from your lives, and we've sat down and in this very safe place where we can worship and praise together. And in here we can speak our minds, we can talk about the Lord without fear of repercussions because we have of like mind, a like faith. And this is that safe place. And I always kind of see my job is kind of just encourage you, rah, 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 now go back out there and fight the battle again. Because without boldness, what good is the rest of the armor? And it's interesting because we talk about this idea of boldness, and throughout scriptures, this is such a focus. We go through the book of Acts, and here we have the early church. And picture this, because the early church started off, we have them hiding in the upper room. Right? They've taken Jesus, their leader, and they've taken him and crucified him. And they saw him raised back from the dead, but now they were afraid. Are we next? Are they going to come and take us? And they're all gathered up, and they're kind of just waiting and waiting because God told them to go and wait. And they're waiting, and they're like, oh, now what? Then the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and something miraculous happens. That this church that was scared became bold. And throughout the book of Acts, time and time again, we have that call to boldness. Acts chapter 4, verse 29 says, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." With all boldness, God wants us to speak up. And sometimes it's hard. And now I understand we are all kind of wired differently. Some of us are more bold than others just naturally. Our personalities are a little bit louder than others. You know, I know what it's like to be shy and bashful. Right? Actually, we're down in Boston. We're seeing my nephew when he's in the children's hospital. And the big joke with my brother-in-law is that I talk to everyone. So we get into the elevator, the door is closed, and I'm talking to everyone. Where are you guys going? Oh, what's going on? So by the time you go up six floors, I know everyone. You know? I just think that's what everyone's like, right? You know? So I have a bigger mouth than some. And so it's easy for me to say, hey, get out there and say something. But even my heart quivers and quakes sometimes. When we were in Bible school, I remember that one of the things we had to do was go out. And we went out door to door. And I don't know if you've ever gone door to door evangelism. My knees were knocking. What's going to happen? In the worst case, I got attacked by an animal. And it wasn't a dog, it was a cat. This lady came out and her cat came out. And I figured, because you want to touch base with someone. You like your pet. You know? So if you see someone walking, hey, oh, can I catch your dog? Yeah, okay. And then all of a sudden you're their friend. You know? And so I was like, oh, can I touch your cat? She's like, oh, yeah, go ahead. So I gave the cat a pat. And the cat's like, purring up on me. Like, oh, all right. So I'm smiling. And I gave it another pat. And the cat's like, ah. And I go to the third time. And that thing muckled right onto me. Just all four. And biting me. And I'm like, ah! And I get it off, I'm bleeding. And she goes, yeah, he does that. Thanks. You know? And I'm knocked on some doors and I've had no thank you. Gone over the doors and all of a sudden the shades get drawn. It's that nervousness that builds up. I understand that. And that's why we need to pray for boldness. And more so than any before, our society is trying to get us to be quiet. With our thoughts being antiquated and old-fashioned. That in here, more so than other, we get to a point where so many of our neighbors and friends don't go to church, aren't interested in spiritual things. We're labeled as some kind of phobic that we hate and all these things. And we want to label us. And so it's easier just to kind of be quiet and go along with the flow. And I gotta be careful because in here, we talk about this idea of boldness, that in here, the strength comes in and the talk comes in of the Lord, right? This is the Lord's armor, right? This is the armor of God. And even the boldness that we have has to be a boldness from the Spirit that's in us. Because if I just become bold, I get myself in trouble. If I go on my own strength, right, and if I go in and with my own ambitions and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to, you know, I'm just going to go sick someone, right? The pastor said to be bold, so I'm going to take them on, and I'm going to show them. And in here, you know, we go down through, and we can get overconfident in our abilities, and we miss the boat because it's God that has to work through us. Right? Because I can be an idiot and I can be a jerk. So I need to make sure that the words I'm saying and the boldness that I have is God's boldness and His Spirit is flowing through me. Or if it's just a matter of getting you psyched up, right? You know, you kind of go in the locker room mentality. It's like, oh yeah, go out there, yay team, yay team, yay team. And you get all that hype and you get all that adrenaline. And you're like, oh yeah, let's go, let's go. And let's head out. Then you're all pumped up. And then all of a sudden the reality sinks back in. And you're like, right? We go crashing down. So it works one of two ways. If we have confidence in the flesh, right? The first half of this is, look, the flesh will let you down. Philippians tells us that not to have confidence in the flesh. I'm not telling you, you know, to go out there and do it no matter what, and then you just gear up and you can do it, and you're like, all right, I'm all pumped up, because without the Lord, it's easy to fall back in. And imagine a soldier heading out to battle. And without that determination, without that grit from commands on high, he's just going to run away. Your nerves will get the best of you. Right? Some of you are motivated by fear. What are they going to say? What are they going to think about? Right? And these pictures go through your head. What if they don't like me? Right? If it's our mentality, it's just our conviction, then we'll fall short. The other side of that is we're overconfident. Jeremiah tells us, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. You know, I can tell you all the verses to share and how to witness and all those things, and all that head knowledge comes in, and then all of a sudden I think, oh, I got it all together. And I was really guilty of this really early in my ministry, because I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to get that person saved. And I was determined. Right? And I'd zero in on a person, and you're going to get saved whether they like it or not. You know how that usually went? Not too well. Right? I thought if I just had a clever enough argument that I'd win the day. What I found sometimes in my conversations was I was making people feel like they were foolish, or I was looking down on them. And I was led by that overconfidence and that ignorance. Folks, overconfidence will get us in trouble. I don't know if you can see this little mouse on the mousetrap. Right? If we determine that we're going to do this in our flesh, and we're going to do this with our arguments and with our decisions and my ways, and I'm going to be so clever, right? Both sides will get us. Because it's God's battle. It's God's work. It's the Spirit's work in someone. You know what? I am not going to save anyone. God does it. Now, can God use us? Oh, yeah. You know, over the years, I've talked to people and said, you know what, I've been witnessing to my neighbor or to my friend or to my siblings or my family. I've been witnessing all these people and they haven't made that decision. I failed. No, you haven't. If you've gone and you've spoken and you've shared, it's up to God for the increase. We're just told to go. We're just told to be bold. And more so, I think, than ever before, we need to be strong. I mean, we need to be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. That, Lord, it's your work. It's your words. There's an interesting verse in John chapter 3. It says that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world because they're already condemned. Jesus came to save them. The lost is already lost. What they need is not someone to condemn them, they need someone to show them the light. That's Jesus Christ. Be strong in the Lord. Lord, you give me the words. You give me the power. You show me what you want me to go. And you show me and you lead me in all these things, Lord. Be strong in the Lord. In the power of His might. This is the verse that we're teaching the kids at Good News Club. Just on a side note, keep Good News Club in your prayers. Last week we had 14 kids come out. And they changed the rules on us a little bit, so we're playing a little bit of catch-up. But it's interesting, between those fourth grade and down, I had four or five kids, and we had nine kids in the middle school group, fifth grade up to eighth grade. I'm just amazed that these older kids are coming back. So pray for Linda. She's dealing with them. Actually, she's doing a great job with these older kids. But be strong in the Lord. Be bathed in prayer. You know, Paul says, look, give me utterance. Right? That's the first thing we start with. You know, be strong in the Lord, that my utterance may be given. Can I tell you something, Christians? We need to speak up. We need to speak up. Our nation is going to hell in a handbasket, literally. We're turning against the Savior. And what's going on is godlessness is ruling the day. And the church has been quiet for too long. Because we're afraid. We need to stand up. Pray for boldness in the middle of all these things. And act for the opportunity of, Lord, when you prod my heart to say something, say it. And I would dare bet that most of you have been in that position where the conversation was going on and you felt that tinge to say something. Right? Have you been there? The Spirit prodded your heart. Speak up. And you're like, I'm the only one. Right? If I say something, oh man, I'm going to stick out. Are they going to make fun of me? Are they going to call me? Are they going to turn on me? Right? But you felt that prodding. That's why we pray for boldness, Lord. Are you giving me the gumption to speak up when you want me to? Peter tells us here, But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Right? As Christians, we should always be ready to share the hope of the Lord. Right? Why is my marriage different? Why am I doing this with my kids? Why am I doing this in my workplace? Why am I not doing what everyone else is doing at the job? Why am I different in all these things? Let me tell you, because of Jesus, what He did. This is what His Word says. And I want to please Him. And this is why I do these things. Give that in here. And I love how at the end of this verse says, with what and what? With meekness and what? And fear. I'm not telling you to go and get in their faces. You know, I heard some of the political discord. You know, get in their faces. Shout them down. No, you're not going to win anything by that. But in here, it's with meekness that I say these things. Not because of how smart I am, but because of what God has said. Right? It's not even a matter of, well, that's your opinion. No, it's not my opinion. Right? That this is a definition of marriage. It's not my opinion. It's what God says. It's Him. It's not me. Why don't we do certain things? Because the Bible says so. And I want to follow it. Well, why is that? Oh, that gives me an opportunity. I remember talking about this once in a church, and a lady really took it on, and she goes, you know, I'm going to speak up, and I'm going to... And she said, you know, all of a sudden I got a phone call midweek. She goes, Pastor, you know, you told us to be bold. You told us to go and speak up. She goes, I am. She goes, now they're asking me questions. And I don't know the answer. I said, good. She goes, what do you mean good? I said, hey, it gets you into the Word. And she goes, I'm going home and I have to look through my Bible now to find out. I said, that's a good thing. I said, give me a call. I'm here to help. I'd gladly help you do all those things. Right? And she goes, man, she goes, the more I talk, the more... And she goes, I'm out of my comfort zone. I was like, good. And that God was really working in her. Now that we come across as arrogant and boastful, but with meekness and with fear. See, bravery isn't the absence of fear. It's doing the right thing even though we're fearful. Okay, Lord. That I may have utterance. That I may speak. Lord, give me the words that you want me to say. I love this because that's what the Apostle Paul said. Paul said, give me the opportunity to say something. Give me an opportunity to say something. And he goes on in Ephesians 6. He says, not only do I have utterance to speak, but make known the mysteries of the gospel. And there is a purpose that folks think about this. What this world needs is Jesus. And they don't understand that. They don't understand that. Most of the world is doing what they can to get by. They're just trying to survive. And trying to make ends meet and trying to make sense of this world. Folks, but we have the answer. Not because I'm so smart, but Jesus is the answer. That's what they need. How many of your friends you know are struggling in their marriages, struggling with their children, struggling with life? Jesus is the answer. How will they know? Paul told the Romans this beautiful truth. He said, how then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how do they hear without a preacher? Now don't sit there and say, oh, you're the preacher, it's my job. No, you can be the preacher in this case. The world doesn't know. And even more so, now so. I mean, some of you, when you were in school, you heard about the Bible. You knew people who went to church. So, right? Some of you are of the generation where everyone went to church somewhere. Today we live in just the opposite. People don't go. Most of the people we know don't go to church. They don't hear. They don't hear this in the schools. You know, I one of my favorite parts of Good News Club is going and doing the Bible lessons. I love telling the stories. And I remember years ago when I was doing stories, kids were like, yeah, I know what's going to happen. Oh yeah, David did this. Oh yeah. And the kids all kind of knew the stories, right? And I just love now because, well, maybe this is kind of not, love's probably not the right term, but these kids are just glued. I love telling the stories and they're sitting there and they're hanging on every word because they have never heard it before. They don't know who David is. You know, we're going through Daniel. They don't know who Daniel is. Right? And they're hanging on every word because this is new and this is exciting. They're hungry for it. You're not getting it anywhere else. how will they know unless they're taught? Right? If our neighbors, our loved ones, if Jesus is the answer, but they don't know who He is, it's up to us to tell them. Because they're not going to just figure it out on their own. And that's what this verse is talking about. How can they call on Him who they don't know? A couple of years ago, I had an opportunity. I was at church and we had a kids program going on. And this guy came in, and him and his girlfriend was going to church, had grown up in church, and she brought him, and he had a little boy part of the program, and so he was just kind of hanging out. And the girl came up and goes, "Pastor, can you talk to my boyfriend about Jesus?" This guy is like 6'6". He's like 275 pounds, just this big, beefy guy. So I come up and say, "Hey, why'd you come in my office and sit down?" He looked at me. He's like, "All right." So he walks in my office, he sits down. And I'm 6'2", so I'm pretty tall. And it feels weird when I have to look up to someone. So it's like, so we're sitting down. Even sitting down, he was still intimidating. And so I asked him, I said, "Well, you know, where are you with the Lord?" He goes, "Are you going to talk about that Jesus stuff with me?" I was like, "Yes." He goes, "You're not going to make me do it." I said, "Sir, I can't make you do anything." He goes, "I know my life is, I haven't done what I'm supposed to be doing." He had escaped, He had left, he was on one of the islands. And a lot of the islands are very heavy in drug use. And he goes, "I had to escape this scene," so he left the islands to get away from it. He goes, "You're going to tell me I'm going to hell." And he goes, "You're not going to make me do anything." I said, "No, I can't." And that guy would swoosh me like a bug. And so I shot up a real quick prayer. "Lord, give me the words to speak." And I asked him, I said, "Do you love your son?" He goes, "Oh yeah." He started talking about his son. He goes, "I love my son." He goes, "I would do anything for my son." I said, "Would you trade your son for anything?" He goes, "No." I said, "Why?" He goes, "I love my son so much." And this isn't me. I believe this is just the Spirit of God giving me the words to speak. And I looked at him, I said, "You know what? God the Father had a son. And He loved that son. But He traded that son for you." He goes, "What?" I said, "Yeah, God loves you so much that He gave His son. That His son had to die on a cross because He loves you that much." He goes, "God can't love me." He goes, "You don't know all the stuff I've done." I said, "No, I don't." I said, "But God does. And He still traded His son for you." And his eyes just got really big and he got tears in his eyes. He goes, "How can God love me so much?" I said, "I don't know, but He does. And He wants to have a relationship with you." He goes, "How can I have that?" I said, "Just accept Him." I had an opportunity to lead him through a prayer that he was a sinner. And Jesus died on the cross for that sin. He goes, "Come into my heart, forgive me of my sin." And in that office, he accepted the Lord. He got up with a big grin on his face. He gave me a bear hug that I still feel today. Oh, man, he's big. And he walked out with joy in his heart and a life that was changed. Here's a man who walked in and says, "You're not going to make me do anything." It's not a matter of making. And the Lord just used me because I was willing to step up and say something. How will they hear without a preacher? Right? Each one of us has a ministry, an area for us to share in. You have an opportunity for those around you that you can share just a word about the Lord. Lord, give me boldness. Paul goes on in Ephesians 6. He says, look, as I ought to speak. This is the hard part sometimes. We get the gumption. Or I talk to people and say, well, say something, right? This week, Lord, give me an opportunity to say something to someone. That's pretty big. Right? And some of you are like, I don't know. And, all right, okay, Lord, give me the boldness. Right? Help me to stand in your word. Help me to stand in your truth. Give me that security in you. Lord, give me a boldness. And then it's like, what do I say? What do I say? First thing is, pray. Lord, what do you want me to say? Right? If you just memorize some lines, it's going to come across as phony. Right? But if you come across of a place of meekness and humility, and really a case of love, what I find is if you open up and you really show someone you care about them, you're interested in them as a person, people will open up. People will open up. Start a conversation, say, how are you doing? And mean it. Ask them a question, what they're involved in and what they're doing. It's amazing how people will open up. You know, we're so used to texting and Facebook, and you've lost. It is a powerful thing to look someone in the eye and care about them. That is a powerful influence in someone's life. But what do I say? Jesus tells us here. He's telling his disciples. He says, when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. If the Holy Spirit is in you, and you've prayed, Lord, what do you want me to say? And you listen to Him, He'll give you the words. And we have the right words at the right time. I'm amazed sometimes. And there's an interesting thing, because sometimes God does a miracle between what you say and what they hear. Now, you guys don't know that, but I'm really not good at preaching. I'm really not good at this. And some of you walk out and you'll say, oh, that was a good message, John. And I'm amazed sometimes the message that you hear is different from the message I preached. Because God gave you the words. He used the passage to perk your heart. He's our teacher. And often, I'm just amazed that sometimes it's the right words at the right time. I had one guy leave church one, and he was mad. He came to church maybe once or twice, you know, a year, and he came up, and he was at the back door, and he goes, who told you I was coming? I said, no one. He goes, your message was about me. I want to know who told you what was going on in my life. I'm not that good. That I knew you were going to show up on this day with this message, and I've been looking in your windows, and this was, no, that's this. I said, that's the Spirit of God. And I would listen to Him if I were you. The Lord will give you the words. Now, let me tell you, the more you're in His Word, and the more Scripture you have memorized, there's more stuff for the Holy Spirit to draw out on. But maybe the Lord will prod your heart to be firm with someone. And sometimes people need someone to be firm. Maybe someone needs love. Right? All these things. Maybe someone needs compassion. Maybe someone needs the truth. Right? Each heart and each situation is different. And the Holy Spirit, if we're in the power of the Lord, in the power of His might, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. He will give us the words to speak. I believe that with all my heart. There's two verses I want to look at this morning. Actually, three. In Matthew chapter 5. Verse 13 says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." You are the salt. How salty are we? You know, a little bit of salt goes a long way. We were watching a baking show the other day. We're a weird family. We like watching these baking shows. Then I get hungry and then I want a snack. And a guy was making a cupcake and he grabbed the salt instead of sugar and added 3 cups of salt to his cupcake. It didn't take long for anyone who tasted it to know it was salty. Right? It's a clear distinction. Salt is salty because it's salt. You are the salt. And God's taking us and using us as a church, as a giant salt shaker, to sprinkle it around, to flavor, to preserve, to have an influence on those around us. Folks, if we back away, and it saddens me, so many churches are backing away from the truth. They are losing their saltiness. You know what salt is if it's not salty? It's just a rock. How salty are you? Doesn't take much salt. A little goes a long way. Do people who rub against us in life, do they know that we're salty? Do they know we're Christians? Do we know what we believe? Do they know our faith? It doesn't take much contact for us to rub off on others. He goes on, he says, not only are you salt, he says, but you are light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You are a light. And God has set you up in a very dark world. One of the things we look at today is our world gets darker and darker. As they get farther away from the Bible, as they get further away from God, this world is getting darker and darker. That just means that we shine brighter and brighter. The distinction between us is different. The light and darkness is more stark. We should stand out more. That sometimes is uncomfortable. But for the glory of God, let me shine. The light that's in me, do I hide it under a bushel? Oh no, I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan puff it out. Let it shine. Pray for boldness. God has equipped us. We just spent several weeks now talking about the armor of God. We are equipped in His power and His might to do what He wants us to do. To fight this battle. To stand. Lord, give us the boldness to put it all together for Your honor and for Your glory. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for who You are. Lord, give us a boldness. Help us to stand before You. In this dark world, let us shine. Give us the words to speak. Lord, this week, help us share Your love, Your mercy, Your truth with those around us, Lord. Give us boldness. We ask this in Your name. Amen.